turn in your scriptures to James chapter 4, and we'll be looking at 7 through 10. The title of our message today is Renewing Our Faith. This will be the last of our vertical living, as we'll, if you see the beautiful decorations, we see our Advent candles. We'll start in our Advent next week, and the lighting of our first candle, and thinking about our theme and our Christmas theme. We'll be doing our Christmas sermons. It'll be Who Would Imagine a King? Who Would Imagine a King? And so look forward to preaching those as we get ready for celebrate the incarnation of our Lord and Savior. But as we continue in our vertical living series, and we're finishing up, just the idea of this renewal of our faith. And let's begin by standing to our feet to honor the reading of God's Word. I pray that you have a Bible of some sort, whether it's electronic or there's a pew Bible in front of you. Make sure that you turn to that, James chapter 4, and we'll be looking at 7 through 10. And so we should all read along in God's Word. Why? To make sure that the man of God is preaching you correctly, okay? That's all of our responsibility. So the Word of God says this, James 4, verse 7. It says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Lord, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth for your glory, and all God's people said, you may be seated. Now, I want you to know something about James. And I always say, James is tougher than goat guts. And why is that? He don't pull any punches. And it's tough when you read his book and all. You say, I wonder why James was like that. Guess what? Half-brother of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about that. Grew up in the house with Jesus. He was his younger brother. So just take that. And he didn't receive Christ as his Savior till after the resurrection. So how many of us have a sibling that thanked their God, right? Okay, come on, we won't go there. But I mean, if you think, hey, they could do no wrong. Guess what? James lived in a house of perfection. His older brother was God in the flesh. And so when he receives his brother as his Lord and Savior, guess what? That's the real deal right there. And he don't pull any punches when we get to his book. He's just straightforward. I like that. He's very easy, applicable to our lives. He's still talking about faith. He begins the book talking about people. Plenty of people say they have faith in Christ. There's plenty of them in the world today. But he says, you know what? When their faith is not lived out, if it doesn't come forth in this godly style of living, in godly works, he says that's not faith at all. So people can say, but their lifestyle lives it out. James starts out with that. His whole book is built on that premise. And so when we get to this, man, we get to chapter 3, and he's talking about dealing with the tongue. Oh, he say, oh my. The greatest, this little member that we have in our mouths that we can't control. He says, man, we bridle horses, we do all these things, but we can't control this little tongue. And think about some of the greatest sins that we commit is with our words. When we speak out against one another and we lash out. And he tells us, hey, it comes from this wisdom, this demonic wisdom, wisdom of the world versus godly wisdom as he gets down to the end of chapter 3 there. And he's talking about it. So what happens is this wisdom of the world promotes pride. And wisdom of God promotes humility. And so it's our pride that a lot of times that we can't, the wisdom of, and that pride that we can't control this little member in our mouth called our tongue. And James says, this is where, when he gets to chapter 4, says, this is where a lot of the fights come from. I don't want you to raise your hand. You say, how many of you argued and fought this week? Why? James is letting us know it comes from this pride. It comes from this way that we process things, this wisdom that if we're not careful, how many of us has hurt people that we love the most because, man, just with words that you can't take back, it's an amazing thing once they leave your mouth, isn't it? And then so we get to this where James, he gets over chapter 4 and he's talking about these wars and his stripes and struggles and he says, I want you to, let me read this, just getting ready for as we get to verses 7, but he says, And look at verse 4. Here's James again, tough. Look what he says, verse 4 of 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now right there, listen, and you know personally, if you're a friend of the world. You say, what are you talking about? If you like the things of the world, oh, I don't get happy until I'm out with whatever, with whoever. Are you a friend with the world? He says, man, when we live like the world, we're an enemy against God. James, man, that's so tough. And verse 5, or do you think the Scripture says in vain the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? God desires this relationship. He desires this allegiance to Him, not to ourselves, not to the things of the world. But He, look what He says in verse 6, but He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then He sets us up when we're in our verses today, when we're talking about renewing our faith, when He says, therefore, in view of these things that He's talked about, what does He say? Submit to God. So I want us to think about, as we're doing an assessment, we need to pull back to assessment this morning, all of us. Let me ask you this. How is your relationship? Husband and wife, how's your relationship? Is it lacking? Oh, we take care of the kids. And how about you, mom and dad? Do you have that relationship? Have you lost maybe a little something? And you're just going through life, the bills, the kids, everything just pull at you. Oh, you can go have your fun wherever, but back at home it's just kind of going through the routine. Hey, James is going to touch on these things this morning. Our relationships really are an offset. Our vertical relationship has to do with our horizontal. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you'll be honest before God, He'll help you, but you got to be honest. And He'll restore that which the locust eats if we're honest before Him. And so it's this renewing of our faith. How many of us here couldn't say, I want to have a closer walk with Jesus? I want to grow in my faith. I want to be so real to those around me and to God most of all. I want to quit playing games, Lord, and just get real with You. I want to burn white hot for You in a world that's surrounded with darkness. How many of us can't say we need this renewal of faith? I want us to look at these. In these four verses are some of the most beautiful verses in all Scripture, even though they're tough. But they contain the words of eternal life, but also for a spiritual renewal. In other words, listen, if you don't know Christ today, you can learn through this Scripture how to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're scratching your head saying, well, I sure hope so, you better listen. There's no hope so when it comes to that relationship with God. It's a no-so. He told us that. That you may know that you have this relationship with Him. I don't want anybody leaving here this morning and say, I sure hope I'm ready for heaven. But knowing. So I want us to think about, James will speak to the actions and attitude for renewing our faith. And I want you to see first, it's in verse 7, that renewal requires submission and resistance. What does verse 7 say? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James gives us some actions that we can take on this path to renewal, where we can have this renewing our faith, where we can get to that place that we desire, or hopefully we desire. If we don't have that desire, we're in trouble. But he says, look what first thing he says, is submit, that word submit. And it's a military term. What does it mean? It literally means to rank under. To rank under. God is our supreme officer, okay? He's our commander-in-chief. And James said, submit to God. Rank under Him. Find your place. Submit to Him. Allow Him to rule your life. And this submission is voluntary, by the way. God doesn't press anybody into this. But it's a voluntary thing. And this choice is to come under authority of God, to arrange your life under His leadership. I want to ask you this morning, do you want complete victory? Do you want complete victory this morning? It only comes through unconditional surrender. Allowing your life to be surrendered over the Lord, relinquishing control of your life to Christ. Now some people, if you're a control freak, oh, to hear that, relinquish my life, allow God to control my life. It's just like something about that just raises the hair up on the back of your neck. Guess what? Only way that we can have complete victory is to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ completely. Can anybody say amen this morning? Matthew 10:39, Jesus said, "He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." You know, that which you are looking for, that fulfillment that you might be longing for in your life. Hey, if you're one of them people, and you're honest about it, if you're one of them, you're just not fulfilled, you're just lacking something, whether it's at home, at work, or wherever, it comes from this not allowing Christ to have you completely. It's just enough religion that it inoculates you from a true relationship with Christ. And you know it. You know it inside, you're longing, but here's the deal. When you weigh it out, you think it's just not worth sacrificing this for this. Let me tell you something. I don't know what the world has fed you and said that it's not worth, but there's nothing worth missing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or having that complete life in Him. He says, submit. Submit what to God? And then look at the next is resist. And what does resist mean? It means to stand against, to oppose. Who is it that we're opposing here? There's no middle ground, no neutral area. It's a drawing, a line in the sand against the Satan and his attacks and the devil. And please don't miss the promise that goes along with it. What does the Word of God say? Not what I'm saying. What does it say? Resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee from you. Just as the devil left Jesus in his temptation in the desert in Matthew chapter 4, he will also flee from those who resist him. You can't say, well, he's as powerful. Think about it, as powerful as Satan is. You can resist him. In other words, there's no, you lose all your making excuses, okay? We cannot make excuses anymore and say, well, and I have a person that we're kin to that wants to blame the devil for everything. You ever seen those people? And you might be one of them. Well, the devil, he's so hard on them. Guess what? The devil is only as strong as you allow him. Is that not the Scripture showing us today? He's relentless, I promise you that. Does anybody say amen? He's relentless. He's there. He's always wanting. But the Scripture today gives us encouragement. Why? He can be defeated. Praise God. It says, hey, if I resist him, he has to flee. That's a pledge that the devil can be defeated. He can never lead you into sin without your consent. You can blame the devil all you want to. It falls right here. What I allow him to do in my own life through sin and temptation. So we see that first, that renewing our faith. Renewal requires this submission and this resistance. Submitting to God, resisting Satan. But also, look, renewal's necessity is worship and purity. What does verse 8 say? Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James, man, that's, again, he's strong, but he's getting right to the point. We don't want to hear that. You know why? And I love our Sunday school lesson today, Donnie. Goes right along. I mean, it's amazing how God does this in Leviticus and how God's saying, hey, if you'll just be obedient to me, he said, hey, these things work out, but if you're disobedient, this is the results. There's results to being disobedient. Can anybody say amen? There's consequences to your choices and your sin. And part of your problem, listen, the problem that you're so longing for is you don't want to let go of your sin, your lifestyle. You're having your fun. Can I just make things clear? Serving Jesus is fun. The most fun in the world is being able to lay down at night as a child of God. And if you've served Him the best way that you can, that you've lived by His standard, that you've given Him the praise and glory for everything, listen, you can go out and have all your fun you want to in the world, but there ain't nothing compares to that. You're holding on to a pipe dream and a phantom that will never bring you satisfaction. Oh, only till the next time Christ completes in you what it is that you're longing for. We see this. We need worship. Do you understand that you're going to worship something? We all cultures in the world, anywhere you go, they're going to worship something. The problem with America is we don't worship God. We worship everything else. And when James gets here, this necessity of worship is worship and purity. First, there's a putting on, and it's a mindset of worship. Do we really worship? Do we get so caught up in His worth-ship? what he has done, who he is. Listen, what he has done for us as children of God. What he allows us to do every day, the blessings that we have from God every day. Do we really worship? Did you get up this morning and say, thank you, God, you made the sun come up this morning? Most of us don't even think that way, do we? It just comes up. We just kind of take it for granted. How many of us sat down to an abundance last week? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you, buddy? We eat too much, don't we? Ham, turkey, casseroles, and then those sweets. You got to have a little something sweet afterwards. Listen, we are spoiled, and we don't even think like Brooke said today. 200, almost 300 people in our own counties that didn't have nothing to eat. We don't want to think about that, do we? You know what we'll do? We'll rationalize. We'll say, well, they can get food anywhere they want to. You know why? Because we don't want it to be our responsibility as God's people. So we push it off on everybody else. We don't want to take responsibility. That's what James is saying. We don't want to take the buck stops here, do we? We want to point fingers at everything else. This is the problem. Some of the most cynical people that I know of. And there's plenty of very intelligent people. This intellectualism, once you realize, they'll sit down and they'll backbite about everything. This and that, man, I don't believe in this and that. You know what that cynicalness comes from? Is your lack of relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? You work on that, and I promise some of your cynicalness will be dealt with. Why? He just died for me. He just gave his life for me. The simplicity of the gospel can shake your intelligent self back down. You get on blogs and all you'll do is talk about how, hey, how about Thanksgiving? Oh, it was a celebration of what they did to the American Indians. Some of that garbage and junk that goes on. Is that what you are? Is that what you've become in your walk with the Lord? You're missing something. James is telling, hey, if we want to renew our faith, get back to the gospel, what he's done. Sure, the world's full of a lot of darkness, but you know what? Last time I looked, Jesus is full of light. And he gave you his Holy Spirit to shine the light. Quit spewing out the garbage of the world and buying into their way of dealing with things. What does James say right here? Draw near. Worship that intimate fellowship and communion with the living God. Draw near to him. We draw near. Listen, the Old Testament had this gentle expression of this sincerely approaching God in penance and humility. I like A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite theologians. He said, nearness is likeness. The closer that we get to Christ, the more that we become like him. We need to worship. David, listen to what David said in Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon his name in truth. That's the promise of God's nearness to you. I feel like God's a million miles away. Remember last week's sermon? He didn't go anywhere. You did. Draw near to him. Renewal includes our worship. When Jesus' worship, his internal holiness, has a way of keenly manifesting our sins. The closer we get to the light, the more it reveals our sinfulness. We don't, maybe that's one reason we don't like to draw too close, because then he reveals, as we get close to the light, what does it do? Light reveals, don't it? Reveals our sinfulness. Our purity is a key to worship and renewal. How's your purity this morning? What are you talking about? How was your purity this week before the Lord? You say, what is that? Well, who did I hang out with? What did I look at? What did I listen to? You say, well, are you talking about a legalistic approach to God? Not whatsoever. I'm talking about a purity, a holiness, a standard that he's taught us to live by. And I promise you, your worship this morning is only as great as your purity was through the week today, this week. We need to draw close to God. Cleanse your... look what he says. And remember the Old Testament. I like this because when we get this, he's talking about not only do we put off, but we put on... we see a putting on, but we see a taking off, a renouncing of sinful actions. When he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James, speaking to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's going straight to the point, isn't he? He said, our problem is we think we can become before a holy God with dirty hands. Speaking of those Old Testament priests that had to wash and prepare before they came before the Lord. And hands, it speaks of the outward deeds. When renewal comes into our lives, we will be able to hold on to those actions which are, we won't be able to hold on to those things which are in violation of God's Word. We let go of those things. We know in our heart those which please God and those that which do not. Not only is it a renouncing of sinful action, but it's a rejection of sinful attitudes. Look what he says. Purify your heart, you double-minded. So it's not only is it our actions, but our attitudes. This is a call to this inward purity. Heart means inward life. See, we can look good on the outside, but our attitude be wrong on the inside. I don't know about you, this is where I have my greatest struggle as your pastor. It's my attitudes. The heart is the problem. Double-minded is a person that's divided with divided loyalties between God and the world. Is your loyalty divided? If your loyalty is divided, you know where it shows up at? In your closest relationships. Hello, is anybody listening? If your loyalty is divided, it shows up in your closest relationship. You say, what are you talking about? Well, my closest one's in me and the Lord. You know what? I don't want to, when it comes time to learn, when it comes time to have Bible studies, when it comes time for me to grow in God, I don't care about that. I've got time for everything else, but not that. How about not only with the Lord? How about with my husband and my wife? I'll find time to do whatever in the world else, but as far as spending time together, when we're together, all we're doing is arguing. What's the problem? Divided loyalties. You see, when we're on the right page vertically with our Savior, we're going to be on the right page with our relationships with each other. Can anybody say amen? I know what it is to be out of that relationship here and here. And the only way is for us to admit. I want you to understand something this morning. Is everybody listening? More money, a better job, better house, better car is not going to bring you that satisfaction that you think it will. Only a right relationship with God brings the right relationship with each other. Strive as you might. Point fingers at what you want. Blame everybody else. Right here's the problem. Me. And it's that renewal of my faith that I need. And I'm so glad. Listen, I love Psalms 24, 3 through 4 says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, nor sworn deceitfully. How can I ascend the hill of the Lord? How can I come into the presence of a holy God with clean hands and a pure heart? The reason I'm out of fellowship with him is I got dirty hands and my heart's not right. And those of you that are in that know it, whether you want to admit it or not. We always do. How's your purity before the Lord this morning? I ask you again. Your worship is no greater than your purity. Renewal requires submission and resistance. And its necessity is worship and purity. But also, I want you to see lastly, renewal calls for brokenness and humility. Verses 9 and 10. What does it say? Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. You say, James, are you saying that I'm to mourn and to weep over what? My own sinfulness. I'm to be broken. He's talking about brokenness here. And look, it's almost like this misery. He says, lament. Lament. To be afflicted, to be miserable. This is a call to repentance by having us grieve over our own sin. And then the next thing, think about when you remember when the Pharisee and the tax collector goes up before the Lord. You remember they're worshiping there in Luke, and the Pharisee comes up there and he says, man, I've fasted twice this week and I've given these goods to whoever and all these things. And he's really bragging before the Lord. And what the old tax collector come up, he just beat his chest and wouldn't even look. And he says, forgive me, Lord, a sinner. And Jesus said, who do you think went away? Forgiven. Tax collector. See, we can do all we want to. We can serve in the church all we want to. The true greatness before the Lord is being honest before Him. Honest to yourself and honest before God. You say, is it not worth that for your family? Is it not worth that for your kids? Is it not worth that being honest before God? This is the connect between soul distress and sound doctrine. When the Word of God touches our heart, it connects to our soul. James is not speaking about being sad over our circumstances in life and wanting God to help us have better ones. No, this is brokenness over sin and violation of God's holy law and fear of judgment. Because then he goes, not only brokenness, but sorrow. He says, and mourn and weep along with becoming this miserable. And the contrite sinner is to mourn over his sin. This is a deep belief and remorse, a complete despair that laments over sin. The way that we mourn when we lose a loved one. Have you ever lost anybody? You don't have any trouble being broken, do you, in mourning? And why is that? It's the pain of loss. And James is saying, man, it's kind of like when we understand we've lost this relationship, we've lost this faith that honors God, it breaks us. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. Francis Fuller, listen to what Francis says. For we naturally love and think well of ourselves. Come on. Hide our deformities, lessen and excuse our faults, indulge ourselves in the things that please us. This is why we don't sorrow over our sin. Why? We just think more highly of ourselves. We don't have any problem in today's world finding somebody that's a little worse than we are we? And that's what brings us comfort. We'll point them out. Well, I'm doing pretty good compared to old Dave over there. Dave, he's a sorry low-down sinner. Let me tell you what he did to his wife and kids. And this is what he done. And so we make ourselves feel better. Guess what? Dave is not going to be standing before the Lord when you're standing before him. Did anybody hear you say amen? Only me give an account before God. He says, man, we see this sorrow and weep. He said, not mourn and weep, the outward manifestation of misery and sorrows. Remember what Peter did whenever that old cock crowed, did it for the last time. And he says, Jesus looked at him. What did he do? He went out and he wept bitterly. Jesus said, you'll deny me. Peter said, no, I'll never deny you. He wept bitterly. Why? Because the very words of Christ had penetrated his heart. And he finally saw himself. Finally saw himself. And that's the key to this thing, is finally seeing ourselves and saying, you know what? I need this renewal of my faith. I need this vertical relationship to be number one in my life and restored. Why? It's costing me everything else. And it's not worth it. Sorrow. And then we see seriousness. Look what he says. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Refrain from this flippant, frivolous attitude towards sin. We just kind of make fun of it, don't we? Our comedy today is a great reflection of the frivolousness of sin. Or the idea, everyone does it and God will forgive you for it. So don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about taking care of things in your own walk. Everybody sins, and so, well, how many times? Well, we all sin. We're human. And we'll use that as an excuse never to draw closer to God, never to be renewed in our faith because we're sick and tired of our own sin. True joy comes from obeying and serving the Lord. The happiest we can be is following Him. Before I came to know Christ, I found joy and happiness in the things of the world. Sin is fun, but it doesn't lead to any lasting significance. And it's really a vicious cycle because you have to just keep on to stay happy. You have to keep on with joy. You have to keep on to the next fix, to the next thing that makes you happy. And if you're one of them people, Most of us understand learning to live by paycheck to paycheck. You're just learning to live by happiness to happiness, whatever makes you happy. It's my getaway. I get to get away. If you've said that, by the way, what is it you're trying to get away from? Ask ourselves that. Put away the things of the world. Find joy in repentance and following Christ. Humility last. This is where he is. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The way up is down. God rewards humility. And when we come to the Lord in repentance and obedience, what does it say he does? He lifts us up. That say, it's not just a beat down. James just not, hey, this is the word of God. He's saying, listen, here it is. Just come to the Lord in humility and say, Lord, here I am. And he'll lift you up. He gives you this joy, this promise. He'll lift you up. In the sight of the Lord, humility must be genuine. We can submit outwardly, but be full of pride inwardly. Anybody say amen? Yes. Humble yourselves. That word means to make low, a lowering of ourselves and a raising up of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know the Chronicles verse, and we know it's a promise to God's people, Israel. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. We know that's a promise to the children of Israel, but the application is still good today to God's people and God's house and this country and individually. But we have to humble ourselves. We don't like to do that. Why? We're prideful. God gives his grace to those who he has lifted up. Are you prepared for renewal? Linda, come and play. We'll have our applications. How desperately do you need renewal in your walk, in your life? You will never go any further than your admittance before a holy God. Whenever, for a few moments, block out everybody else in this room but yourself before God. My first question is, go ahead and play, Lynn. Application, are you submitting to God and resisting the devil? Are you submitting? Are you under the leadership? Is God 100% everything that you do? Is he the one that you're coming over? Are you resisting the devil? The devil's not making you do anything that you don't allow him to do. Secondly, how's your purity? How's your purity before the Lord? I promise you, God's done pointed that out today. The Holy Spirit's here and you're a child of God. He's already pointed it out. Number three, when was the last time you wept over your sinfulness? Let's stand to our feet. What's God said to you? I ain't going to beg you. I ain't going to spend a bunch of time manipulating. I'm just asking you to obey God. What's he said to you? While she plays, bow our head before the Lord. What do you need? How's your relationship, husband and wife? You ain't never going to be anywhere until you admit before the Lord. How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you got joy? Are you looking for the things of the world to bring you happiness? Your friends of the world? What is it God said to you today? Are you that cynical person? You become a cynic. What's God said to you today? Altar's open. What do you need to do? Be obedient. Where he leads, I will follow. Here, I love you. You need to chew on this a little bit, this message, okay? Hey, here's the deal. We're about scared to death what somebody's going to think after a message like that, but it doesn't matter. You make your way with the Lord, and you get it right with him. That's all that matters, okay? And if you receive Christ as your personal Savior today, you didn't have to come forward. But I promise you this, you're going to make it known. We've got to get to where sin bothers us. Our own sinfulness. Not the world. Not reading, watching the news, reading whatever. But our own sinfulness before God. If He's ever going to make a difference in our churches, in our lives, we've got to get broken before Him. We've got to be let Him renew us. We've got to be honest with ourselves and with each other. I love you. I look forward as we start in our series next Sunday. Who would imagine a king as we get ready for Christ's great incarnation? Donnie, pray for us.